Hi, this is Robert Kiyosaki, and you're listening to Capital Hacking with Josh and Eric. This is the most important thing you can listen to today.
On today's episode of Capital Hacking.
My philosophy is that funding equals freedom. And I'm not talking about, you know, institutional capital. I'm not talking about family office money. I'm talking about real relationships with real private investors.
I have a dream.
With great power comes great responsibility.
I can do this all day.
Zip, don't get scared now.
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom.
Cinderella story out of nowhere.
Listen to home.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Capital Hacking begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome back to Capital Hacking. This is your buddy Josh. Just saying thank you again to all the wonderful people listening in on these awesome audio masterminds. Well, you are going to be in for a treat today. Josh Cantwell joined us. He stopped by this awesome audio mastermind called Capital Hacking, and he sat down and talked to us about his experience over the last 2 decades leading capital organizations and investing in real estate and coaching and masterminding. And one of the things I think that's really going to catch your attention is the way he designs his debt funds, which I don't know if he has a debt fund available right now, but he explains how he managed that over the years. Now he does real estate, masterminding, all kinds of different investing strategies. And we have a great conversation. He's out of the Cleveland area, so go Browns. I don't know if you're a Cleveland Browns fan. We forgot to talk about that, Josh. Hey, this is a great episode for you. I look forward to talking to you again soon. Please check us out on capitalhacking.com because we are hosting a really great upcoming trip. I'd love for you to find out more about how to join your Capital Hacking brethren and sistren. Or sisterin, or sisters. Anyway, all the ladies out there, guys and gals, join us on capitalhacking.com and get ready for a great episode with the Josh Cantwell. It is absolutely a pleasure to have you here, Mr. Cantwell.
What's going on? Hey, listen, I am so excited to be here and share with your group. We finally got together and we're able to get this recording done. So I appreciate you having me on.
Yes, Josh. So for those of us who have not met you yet, who are listening to Capital Hacking here and are like, who's this great guy Josh is interviewing, who's also named Josh, could you share a little bit about your backstory and where you are today? First of all, and your family and your where you live, all the great stuff.
So I'll tell you where I'm at today. We've done 18 multifamily syndications. We've bought 4,300 units. Our portfolio is primarily based out of Cleveland, Ohio, Houston, Texas, and Atlanta, Georgia. But we also own assets in Oklahoma and Mobile, Alabama. I also run a very high-level mastermind with about 80 other apartment investors. And so we mastermind just to do deals. That's all we care about. So it's not a guru business. I do charge for the mastermind because I put a lot of time and effort into it, but it's really just designed to create an ecosystem to do deals. Last year, we sold off 1,300 of those units. So today we're sitting at 3,000. And my superpower is raising money, Josh. I'm really good at it. I've raised a lot of money, well into the nine figures, actually well in more than $100 million, and all private money, Josh. Like none of that is family office. None of that is institutional. $100 million deployed in our fund, in our apartments. And on top of that, I'm a pancreatic cancer survivor. About 10 years ago, wow. I was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, about an 8% survival rate. I was fortunate to have a surgeon who saved my life on the operating table, literally saved my life on the operating table. And because of that, I'm super fortunate to be married with 3 kids and be a coach. I love volleyball. So that's me in a nutshell, my friend.
So much to get into. It's exciting to meet you, Josh. It's not too many Joshes in our universe of syndication. I knew we were destined to meet up with each other. So by the way, let's start at the top. Where will you be traveling to this year? Or is that not part of your career anymore? Do you travel to conferences?
No, I don't travel at all. I actually never been to a multifamily conference and I've never been through a multifamily training course.
Ever. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I've never bought one, I've never gone through one, and I've never been to a conference. The way I learned this business, Josh, is I was in Resi, and I was really good at raising money, so we decided to create a fund, basically a debt fund. So we would lend out of that fund. We became a really big private lender for Resi and small balance commercial, like under $5 million commercial. Well, that under $5 million commercial was primarily multifamily. It was a lot of mixed use. It was a lot of small apartment buildings. Then we started brokering for other lenders as well. So we added that to our toolkit. And those investors in that fund started telling us, hey, Josh, this is great. We're getting great returns. What else do you got? And I was already used to underwriting the debt on these multifamily deals. Mm-hmm. And so now my investors came to me and said, well, what else do you got? I had a couple of good friends that were already in multifamily. This is going back about 6 or 7 years ago, 8 years ago. So I said, well, let's talk about the equity side. And so we started JVing with them and raising capital. And because we were already, we knew the whole business as far as insurance and underwriting and all that stuff. And so we decided to start partnering with people. We brought a lot of equity. We already had a big balance sheet. We could sponsor loans. And so I just got into the business by doing deals. I'd never actually went to a conference or learned how to do it. I just did it by cutting my teeth, underwriting real deals.
Yeah, that's special, man. As a matter of fact, though, it seems like from looking at some of your backstory, you've met a lot of the same people. Like, you know, remember Gene Garino, the late Gene Garino. So how did you meet up with guys like that from residential assisted living?
So we had at one time a massive, massive coaching and seminar business. I've sold over $50 million worth of info products of coaching, webinars, training programs. I've done massive live events with Kevin O'Leary, Barbara Corcoran, Donald Trump Jr. And so, you know, a lot of those guys were affiliates for us. And I made the decision years ago to just completely shut down the seminar business because it was very transactional. I enjoy coaching people, but I wanted to get to a point where I was only coaching and masterminding with people in order to do deals. And so we migrated over time away from the seminar business. So a lot of those guys like Gene, I've known Gene since like 2014, 2013. He was on my podcast real early when he was just starting the RAL Academy. Obviously, he's recently passed away, that kind of stuff. So yeah, know those guys from really from that old business.
Yeah. Wow. This is going to go deep, folks. So we are the Capital Hacking Group really believes in the power of human capital, developing it, and financial capital is attracted into your life through different teammates, strategies, masterminds. So this is one of the, we call it an audio mastermind, Josh. You're in it now. Okay. And everyone driving around is just diving in. So one of the things I've learned about you is you're a prolific, here, I'll tell you all the things I believe you're prolific at. Now I know you're in the seminar business, but you've retired from that. We know you're in the podcasting world for many years. Got to give you a lot of credit for that. Real estate coaching seems to show up a lot in your experience. And you're, looks like you're looking for deals right now.
You bet.
You're in the deal business. Okay. And you have a fund. Let's talk about syndication. So you got into debt funds first. What market do you live in? Where do you live?
Yeah, I live in Cleveland.
Okay. So that's why you have a good database there of projects. And what a great community at Cleveland. I have a friend who lives in Cleveland and he loves it there. And it's going through a renaissance now, right? I mean, there's a lot of investment coming in.
There is. It's been, it seems like it's always been under a renaissance, like all my adult life, like the last 30 years. But we own almost 1,400 units in Cleveland, and we actually have our first downtown asset under contract to buy. It's going to close in about 60 days. So it's recently under PSA. So I can't really talk about it too much, but it's under PSA. We're going to close on it around October 1st. And we love that market because it's our backyard. And I've hung my hat, Josh, on our construction company, because in the Midwest, there's not a lot of new build. There's not a lot of new construction. So you have a couple different types of markets. You have the Cleveland market, which is a very much a stable cash flowing market. You have Columbus, Ohio, which is more of a boom market. It looks and operates more like Phoenix, Arizona, or Dallas, Fort Worth, or Houston, or Tampa. It's a boom market. There's a lot going on in Columbus. So you have a lot of new construction. Well, in the Cleveland area, we love that market because there's a lot of great multifamily assets. There's a lot of things being repositioned from office into multifamily. However, in the suburbs, there's just not a lot of new construction. So when we buy 60s, 70s, 80s vintage apartments and we renovate them and do significant value add, I'm talking $7,000 to $10,000 a unit, completely turning the unit and upgrading it. You know, we've got assets that we're in all into for $20 million where the insurance value is $40 million. So you can't build that product right now. So we're winning there because we're winning with our construction company. So that's big time what we do in the Cleveland area. Now, Cincinnati, Columbus, those kind of markets, those are more traditional syndication, buy, pay a pref, and let the market run, and less heavy construction.
Well, when you bought that one that you did the $20 million worth of investment, but $40 million worth of appraised or construction value, how did you underwrite that, by the way? Because you probably don't have it underwritten to that replacement value.
Yeah, so that was the insurance replacement value. That's not what it's really worth, or that's not what we're into it for. We bought that deal for $16.3 million, put $2.5 million into it, plus soft costs, acquisition fee, blah, blah, blah. So we're into it for about 19 and a half. And stabilized value is $27
million. Got it.
But insurance, right? And this is my point about cost of construction right now. If you built that project from brand new, from the dirt up, it would cost over $42 million to build. So we actually had a hell of a time securing insurance on it.
I bet.
We were able to get insurance, a little bit more expensive than we wanted, but we were able to get insurance. But yeah, no, that building's got $7 million of equity, but the insurance replacement value is $42
million. And do you do all your funds as single purpose, or do you have a blended fund that does more than one project?
Yeah, good question. I probably should have been a little bit more specific about that. So the original fund that we had was a debt fund. We would just lend out of it. It was all private and hard money lending. When COVID hit, we decided to shut the fund down.
Okay.
All of our syndications are one-off in their own LLC. But the fund, because we were scared. Like when COVID hit, we didn't know what was going to happen with values, Josh. Like nobody knew, right? So we're like, look, this is too transactional. We were probably going to get out of that lending business anyway. And then COVID forced our hand on that one.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we want to learn more about that too, though, by the way. So what was it like? Sounds like you were doing that since 2014. So you were in lending for over 6 years until the pandemic. So what would be the typical offering? How long would people invest with you during those days? And what was the returns you were offering on that debt fund?
Yeah. So that was, we had a 506B fund and then we had a 506C fund. Minimum investment was $100,000 with a 2-year lock. And then it was a 1-year renewal thereafter on their anniversary. So they had an opportunity at the 2-year expiration to exit. Almost nobody ever left. And then at their anniversary, they would be able to renew or opt out. And then we would have roughly 90 days to be liquid enough to redeem them out. And really nobody ever redeemed out. Nobody ever left. That fund consistently paid between an 8 to 14% annualized return. We paid investors out on a quarterly basis, but 8 to 14% annualized. And it was all, the return was made through a combination of the points we would charge up front, the interest we would charge on the loans, and then the extension fees. And then on some deals, we actually did a profit share. That's on the back end. So a big pile of money that would come into the fund from the profit share. We didn't do that on a lot of deals, but we did that on maybe 5 or 10% of them. And so it was, you know, we would charge, let's say 3 points, 13%, plus a 3-point extension fee, a lot of short term for resi. And then on the commercial stuff, it was more like 2 points and 10, like kind of more traditional bridge with a 1 year and then a 2-point extension fee for every year thereafter.
You know, what's great about this conversation for those capital hacking guys listening and ladies is I appreciate you, Josh, because you have a pretty robust business. You have more than most entrepreneurs. You have this expertise in debt, expertise in real estate underwriting, and now you're into acquisition. You're in a major acquisition strategy right now. But before all of this happened, what was your original business career before the pancreatic cancer and everything?
Yeah, I have actually only been an entrepreneur all my life.
Get out of here.
Never had a boss. Literally never had a boss. I graduated from college. I played Division III college football at a place called Baldwin Wallace University right here in the Cleveland area. And my parents almost wrung my neck when I went and got this expensive, you know, liberal arts Division III education. And then I went into financial services with zero salary. Now, my dad, who was my first entrepreneurial mentor, my dad owned an employee benefits company. So he did large employee benefit plans for employers that had more than 100 employees or more. Ooh. At one time, my dad's biggest client was Advanced Auto Parts with 35,000 employees. My dad actually regretted that client because they were such a pain in the ass, but he had them anyway. As a long story short though, Josh, like I got into the financial services world. It was the best thing I ever did because I learned how to sell. I learned how to prospect, cold call. I learned how to talk to people that were 3 times, 4 times my age. I learned about the financial markets and what I could control and what I couldn't control. And so today when I'm raising money, which I raise a lot of money, I know exactly what financial advisor is selling. I used to sell it, right? So when they sell the diversify and wait strategy, like I know that's what they're going to pitch, right? And a diversified portfolio of stocks, bonds, mutual funds is going to net about a 7% return. Because if you're in all equities, you're going to get 10, but then you add some bonds and some cash, it's going to blend down to about a 7 or 8% return. So when you compare that to a multifamily syndication that might have an 8 pref plus equity that gets a 20 to 25% annualized return, it's not even a battle to win that conversation. So my experience as a financial planner in my very early 20s still serves me today. I'm 46 years old and I still rely on those lessons I learned back then. Now, fast forward, graduated from college in 98. By 2001, I had bought my first investment property. It was a duplex. I moved into it. I lived in it. I lived in it for free because of the rent I charged the other tenant. And then by 2004, I was already buying properties on the side while I was a financial planner because I realized my most successful clients, they all owned real estate. They didn't have all their money in the market, stock market. So I watched my dad. I was a weekend warrior. I went to residential boot camps. That's how I learned the business. And, you know, being in the financial services world was great because of the lessons I learned from it.
Yeah, that is fantastic. As a matter of fact, though, you know, I always wonder, is the 7% blended from Wall Street pre-tax or after-tax?
Oh, that's definitely pre-tax.
And what about your multifamily deal at 8% pref?
Yeah, so an 8, 6, 8, 10% pref, whatever. We've done deals with all different prefs. We do a lot of 8 to 10% prefs if the deal can support it. But when you factor in that depreciation, and in some cases a cost sag with some accelerated depreciation, most of our guys that get a K-1 from us, you know, we have like 300 investors, so we send out a lot of K-1s. They actually show a loss on their K-1, even though they've got a pref return. So I warn my investors, I'm like, hey, don't freak out in April when you get your K-1. And you put in $100,000, you've gotten $10,000 of quote unquote interest or pref return, and you've got $10,000 to spend. And then your K-1 shows that you actually have a 5 or a 10 or a 25 or a $30,000 loss. Don't freak out. Okay. Yeah. All that is depreciation. So they love it, right? And especially those guys who are, they're tagged on their tax return as a real estate professional. Then they can use all of that depreciation, right? So now it's a fun business, man, because the returns are better and the taxes are far less, right?
Yeah, it's so great. So great. Well, I admire you for your focus here because I was trying to scroll through your podcasting. Now let's just talk about that. How many podcast episodes do you think you've released over the years? That's pretty good, my brother. 470.
470. Started in 2014 by accident. I think... Michael Blanc, I was still doing Resi back then, right? A lot of people know Michael Blanc's got a huge seminar business, right? Michael Blanc, I think like he was on my podcast as a guest and like he was like his third podcast he was ever on. And I didn't know who he was. Matter of fact, I wasn't even the host. I had my buddy Kyle, who was like my head coach of my residential coaching business. I'm like, I'm busy today. Will you just interview this guy and put it on the podcast? And now Michael Blanc is giant and has this huge business. But yeah, 470, I think we've done.
Phew. Yeah, Michael Blanc is great. Hey, Michael, I hope you're listening. He's with us in GoBundance, so I've gotten to know him over the years. Plus, he and I do a lot with the real estate guys, so I've seen him a lot. So in the world of podcasting, though, what have you found to be the benefit and or drawbacks from being out there and sharing your ideas so much?
Yeah. Look, I think you got to go into that thing with the right intention. And Josh, I'll be very honest with you. I didn't give a crap if my podcast was huge and got a lot of downloads or streams. I didn't care if it got a lot of reviews. I did it with a very specific purpose, which was to interview other people who were experts so I could get almost like their free advice for myself personally. And when I started the podcast, I would even tell my audience, like, I don't give a crap if you guys get anything from this. I'm doing this completely for selfish reasons. I'm doing this to meet new people and to see what they got to say that can help me. And then over time, I realized like, wow, there's actually a lot of people getting a lot of value out of this. So then I started to really pay more attention to how I was delivering it. And then we split it up where we do two podcasts a week. I do one solo cast a week and one guest a week. But Josh, I still do it for very selfish reasons. I still do it to meet people, to try to put together joint ventures, to raise money, but to primarily learn, because I'm not one of those seminar guys that goes to a lot of events. So I want to be able to be home, record from my studio or record from my headquarters and learn from people. A lot of the same stuff you're going to learn at a seminar, but to hear from people and be able to do it without the travel. I've got three young kids. I've got a ninth grader going into ninth grade, going into seventh, going into fifth. And when I was diagnosed with cancer, Josh, I made the commitment that I was going to be home for them. I was going to be home. I was not going to travel. I was not going to miss things. And so I've been at everything they do, and I coach almost everything they do. That was more important to me than going to seminars. So the way I was able to backfill was by hosting the podcast.
That's very cool. I just want to pause here because every single, Josh, you'll love this. My wife, Melanie, is a teammate partner with all of us here that do accountable equity and capital hacking. So she's about to say hello to the audience. So as soon as she says hello, we'll come right back with some extra questions I have for you, my brother.
Hi, this is Melanie McCallan. Josh and I are just so grateful for the many investors who already joined us at Accountable Equity. Accountable Equity is so much more than a capital group. It's really a community of accredited investors that want to learn and grow together. I just want to personally invite you, if you want to find out more about this type of investment and see if it's right for you and your family, please visit us at accountableequity.com.
We are back. Josh, yeah, I'm really impressed. I love the philosophy of using the podcast as your own university or seminar, inbound seminar business.
Yeah.
Very creative of you. And I always thank everybody for being part of this podcast. We're also growing and we're grateful for that, but it is a true gift and blessing to be on this side of the mic as well. So I hope everybody's enjoying it. We joke, sometimes you got to get your pen and paper out. Even if you're driving, as long as you're driving a Tesla, it doesn't matter. Elon Musk told me, we haven't had him on the show yet, but he texted me the other day. So it's okay. They don't have to hold on to the wheel. So here's my question for you. As I was trying to understand your seminar business, your coaching business, you got into coaching. Now, it sounds like you've metamorphosized that into a mastermind. Can you teach us why you got into that? How did you initially, what was the business plan, the first business plan?
Revenge. One word, revenge. Okay, so here's how the story went, right? So in 2004, 2005, me and my buddy Greg, we knew we wanted to get into real estate full time and kind of get out of the financial services world. We started doing the weekend warrior boot camps for residential. We stumbled into short sales. Okay, we're in from Cleveland. Long story short, Cleveland had a foreclosure crisis way before 2007, 2008. There was 10 large publicly traded companies that moved out of Cleveland. So there's way too much housing stock and there's a foreclosure crisis. So we thought, okay, we're going to do short sales. We got really good at negotiating them and wholesaling them, negotiating them, fixing them, rehabbing them, selling them. We stumbled into a coaching program and we found out that that guru had only flipped like 10 or 12 of these short sales. They became a coach for a major guru. Well, we bought it, hook, line, and sinker. We actually did learn some things from them. Okay. So I want to recognize that we did learn some things from them. But after the first 6 months, we're like, dude, we're doing like 10 and 12 of these deals a month. We made like $1 million in our second full 12 months in the business. I'm pretty sure we're way bigger and better than the guru that we learned from. Well, then we did this video, okay? And they took that video, they put it on an old CD, and they used it to promote this massive event they were doing. They did this massive event in Naples. I'll never forget. It was at the Golf and Racquet Club on the beach, like 400 attendees. And everybody was there because of me and my buddy Greg, because we were the case study on the disc. We showed up at the event. They wanted us to sign a non-compete when we walked in the door. And me and Greg looked at each other like, oh, okay. So we're a threat now. We're not like part of the team. We're a threat. So we sat in the audience. They brought up in the first, 45 minutes, they brought up all their friends and all their super case studies and all the people that were so successful with their system. But guess who didn't get invited on stage? Me and Greg.
But had you signed it or had you not signed it?
We did not sign it. We refused to sign it. They almost didn't even let us in the event. We refused to sign it, but then they finally let us in. And then we saw all these people get paraded up to the front and Greg and I walked out. And we said, dude, we're creating our own seminar business and I'm going to put these people out of business. And we did. We literally we waited about a year, but by 2006, 2007, we had done tons of deals. And now the foreclosure crisis is coming.
Yeah, it was.
Perfectly positioned to become like So it was revenge, man. We literally wanted to coach people because we knew we were legit. We knew that they weren't. So we were trying to save people from their scam. Okay. It wasn't really a business that was built like with a whole lot of thought. We just thought, let's just be authentic. Let's just get out there and teach what we're doing. Let's just do what we, but let's teach what we do. And still that experience, Josh, still affects me today. That's one of the reasons why I run this mastermind, and I don't want a big coaching business. I don't want to be everybody's guru. I don't want to be Jesus Christ, everybody's savior. I'm a Christian. Like that's the savior, right? But I don't want to be everybody's savior in real estate. I want to work with a small group of people who are actually going to do a lot of deals, right? So I've made the decision to be extremely authentic, especially as a cancer survivor, and only teach what we do. That's it. So if you're looking for something else and can't do it, I ain't going to tell you I can do it, right? We make way more money from all of our 3,000 units than I ever made as a guru. So I like doing coaching with the right purpose of doing deals together. And commercial real estate allows for that.
Now, I really appreciate that about you. So let's dive into it. What's the name of your coaching business now, your mastermind?
Yeah, so the mastermind is called the Forever Passive Income Mastermind. And all it is mostly people who have, they're either really experienced resi investors. So we do this through an application process, really experienced resi investors who are looking to scale into multifamily, or guys who are small to medium commercial apartment investors looking to scale to the kind of portfolio that we have. Okay. We don't take newbies. We don't take, you know, intermediate resi guys. We only have guys that have some horsepower who can, you know, who can be in a partnership, who know how to find a deal or partner a deal or sponsor a loan.
Right. And that's the thing. Okay. That's very fair. I get it. So in a good way, are you out there benefiting from their network brings you deals? You then help them get the deal over the finish line is what I'm hearing.
Yes and no. So even through the mastermind, I have encouraged them, all the members, to do all their deals without me, right? First, I don't want to be the guy that they're like, okay, I'm going to bring me all these deals for Josh Cantwell to benefit from. I could raise a ton of money and sponsor loans like up to $50 million. So I don't need the deal flow. And I've got a partner that does acquisitions. So I really do this group for, it keeps me grounded. It keeps me sharp. They say the best way to learn is to teach, right? So I like to teach from experience. And we've done a few deals from it, but there's more deals happening in the group without me than with me.
Wow.
Because I'm helping them level up to raise their own money, to build their businesses, to sponsor their own loans. That's really what it's all about, right? This is my big give back.
Yeah.
And so that's what's important to me. Sure, like there's deals that have come to me that I've partnered on, great. But compared to me just doing another one of my own deals with my own business partners, like that's really what's important to me, is doing my own deals and then helping these other people level up.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I'm trying to, you know, all of us driving around, a lot of us are in GoBundance who listen to the show. A lot of us have done some deals. Others are eager to get involved in investing. And we try to make these things less mysterious, you know, and much more practical and real. So we like those types of organizations because the most important part of private deals, and I imagine you might agree, is the people you're in the deal with. The deals come and go, but the people are who you're really making that big commitment to once you entrust capital. So are you currently raising in the 506C, like for accredited investors only, or do you do B, or how do you do it?
Yeah, we've done both. We're a little bit different, Josh, in that, like, as the CEO, I still am on the phone with investors daily, recruiting new capital, talking to investors, building relationships. So we have a big presence in the world between our podcasts. We have 60,000 email subscribers. We've got all this social media stuff going on. So there's a lot of people that enter our world, but I prefer to go the B route, and I prefer to get to know people because that's my nature as a former financial advisor.
That's smart.
I used to see people and do a fact-finding appointment, finding out what their goals and objectives are, finding out who are their financial advisors, is the spouse involved, what's the money for, what's their risk tolerance. That's in my DNA. So I prefer to go that route. And I tell people, look, I could use your money, but I don't need it, because we don't need it. I've got enough investors and enough capital to go buy almost anything I want. But if I can bring people in and help them achieve their goals, so we focus on relationship first. That allows us to go the B route, most of the time. On a really big deal, we have a $100 million asset in Houston. That was a 506C. So we use it when we need it, if we want to go super loud with our marketing. But I know a lot of guys that are almost like do it like a crowdfunding where they bring a lot of investors in, a lot of 506C leads into a portal. They kind of pitch the deal. They open it up for subscribers, but they never really talk to a lot of these investors. I would prefer to talk to investors and play the long game, get a great relationship with them. Then they invest. They might not invest as much upfront, maybe 100,000, 200,000, but long-term, they invest more often, get less questions, right? Less second guessing because of the relationship that we've built.
Yeah. Well said. It's been exciting to talk to you. Whether you want to share like locations or whatever, can you just share a description of a recent deal and a deal maybe? How about we start with your mastermind? What would be a deal you watched happen recently through the work you did on the mastermind? We'd love to understand the details.
Yeah, we just actually had a mastermind meeting last week. We do three a year. We meet online twice a week, but we actually meet face-to-face three times a year. So last week, Paul is one of our members, Paul Hopkins from Denver. He has a 204 unit in Memphis under contract for $17 million. So we're working through that. Stabilized value is $25 million. David Dixon is one of our members, just bought a 77 unit in Cleveland for $4 million. Stabilizes out to $7 million. That one's more of an industrial Midwest heavy value add, needs a lot of cosmetic improvements. Bruce and Kaz are two members of ours. They just bought a stabilized 66 unit for about $4 million. And that's more of a cash flow play. It doesn't need a lot, but they're going to hold it for 5 years and they're going to turn around and sell it. Darren is one of our members. He's got 142 unit under contract in South Bend, Indiana, just outside of the campus of Notre Dame. Mm. And Joe Greaves is one of our members, just got a 77 unit residential assisted living deal. He's a former RAL Gene Guarino student, but he and I have been friends for a long time. He just got 77 units of residential assisted living under contract. And that one is a juicy deal. I don't know the details off the top of my head as far as price, but Joe has almost $100 million portfolio right now, and half of it's RAL and half of it's multifamily.
Mm. Wow, that's rare, actually.
That's all the stuff we were talking last week.
Yeah, that's rare to hear that. The half RAL, residential assisted living, and half multi. That's a unique character. So those are great analogies. So there are stories. And so, by the way, they come to Cleveland, I imagine?
So summertime, we always do Cleveland because I actually take them out in the field to go see my deals so they can get their hands on real properties. And then the spring and the fall, we usually go down to the Sun Belt. Back in the spring, I own almost 800 units in Houston. So we actually did the mastermind at one of the Houston properties because there's a big enough community kind of boardroom.
That's a good idea.
Almost about 50 people there. So we actually had an event at that property in Houston. In December, we're going to go to New Orleans. I don't own anything in New Orleans. I sold a complex in Mobile, Alabama, which is the closest thing to New Orleans. But we're going to go to New Orleans and just have a good time.
Nicely done. Nicely done. I just have enjoyed the time together. I think I can see why you've been successful. Congratulations on everything you're doing. I believe the name of your show that I believe I'm set up to be a guest on, Accelerated Real Estate Investor with Josh Cantwell. I'm looking at it now. Incredible show. Anything else you want to share with the audience that they can use to follow up with you?
Yeah, just go to our main website, which is freelandventures.com. There they can see our portfolio. They can engaged with us to be a passive investor, the mastermind, the whole kit and caboodle, freelandventures.com. And look, I would say there's nothing better in this business than when you have a deal under contract and you know that you can already get the money. So my philosophy is that funding equals freedom. And I'm not talking about, institutional capital. I'm not talking about family office money. I'm talking about real relationships with real private investors. Could be accredited, not accredited, doesn't matter. But that's what I've hung my hat on. And now when I go talk to any broker in any market about any deal, like I'm 100% confident that I can get the money for it.
Yeah, that's a powerful point.
Yeah. Funding equals freedom. So that's allowed me to have financial independence to do what I want to do with my wife and kids because I focused on the private money first.
Yeah. Josh, it's exciting to get to know you and I look forward to the next time, brother.
Absolutely, Josh. Thanks so much for having me on.
Wow. Wow. You made it, everybody. Thank you so much. Eric and I have always said that the people who join us at the end get the pearl and the prize. Awesome.
Folks, don't forget to like and share and love what we're doing on social media. If you want to hit up Josh, you want to hit me up, those are the best places to find us. We are always camped out and ready to talk and put the fire on.
We stand by on social media. By the way, I know we're on Capital Hacking at Instagram, Capital Hacking on Facebook, and Capital Hacking on my personal favorite, LinkedIn.
Yes, because you can always find major players on LinkedIn. I know your favorite. These are some power players on LinkedIn always.
Gary Vee, he's my boy.
But Gary Vee also talks about the power of Instagram. So if you also want to find us there, we're doing a lot of really cool, sexy things on Instagram. So always you can reach out and DM us on Instagram if you have any questions or you want our time. We are always camped out and living there as well.
We will get right back to you. And just like we always say, you are now part of the team. This is a team that's here to add value to your life, and thank you for adding so much value to our life. Remember to share this podcast. Helps us grow it bigger and bigger each week, and we appreciate you posting a review on iTunes. You cannot believe how powerful that is.
Absolutely. Like and share this with anyone and everyone that you think it will add value to, and we appreciate all of that love and support. And do not forget, with great power comes great responsibility.